perhaps you never read the Bible before, maybe never had or taken the opportunity to read the Bible. Give you the opportunity this afternoon to receive a copy of an extract from the Bible, God's Word. It's God's Word, you know, and it's powerful, it's full of wisdom, and got the ability to, change, to alter not only people's lives here, you know, in this world, but of course, in the world to come, to save men and women from eternal destruction. The Bible, I suppose its message could be summed up in the words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Given word of God given to you in your own language, you know, to study, meditate upon, think about these things, and who knows, maybe you'll get one or two surprises. Maybe you'll discover a joy that you never envisaged was possible. A joy, well, that Jesus, he describes it this way. He says, a joy that no one can take away from you. So a copy of God's Word is offered to you, free of charge, no cost, no obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. But do come and ask for one if you would like one. As I say in the Bible, Jesus, he talks to his disciples, those that is who believe in him, those who have turned from their sin, from their unbelief in particular, and have followed him. To them, of course, he speaks of this joy, this exquisite joy that, known only, of course, to those who do follow him. And, it's something, of course, that everybody wants, isn't it? You know, happiness. I just want to be happy. That's what people say. And, of course, it's not a crime to want to be happy. Not a sin to want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. You know, that's that's the number one. That's the number one pursuit, is it not, in humanity? You know, people leave house and home. They travel the world. They move from places like Syria. You know, and places. Where there's nothing but absolute and utter misery, and they leave and they travel from one continent to another. Why? Because, well, they want to be happy, you know, they're looking for happiness. Everybody is looking for happiness. Not a crime, not a sin to want to be happy, but of course it is a sin to look for happiness in the wrong things. And some people, of course, well, they look for happiness in sinful pleasures. They seek for happiness in unbelief, you know, even in secularism and world philosophies of men. And, of course, it's not to be found. Happiness, well, joy, you know. I think the two are most definitely, distinctive differences, you know, because happiness, it seems to me, is what, is always one step ahead of you that you never find. You look for it in the world. You look for it in alcohol. You look for it in drug experiences and so on. And of course, you never really find it. And happiness, of course, is that that transient thing, you know. You've got it when you've got money to spend. You've got it when, you know, you're feeling good, when things are okay, when they're on the up. But, of course, once they start going south, well, the happiness happiness goes south as well, you know. It just disappears. You know, it's a transient thing, you know. It's based upon your circumstances, your well-being, how things are at the moment. As long as there's no crisis, as long as there's no tragedies, you know. It's a very transient thing. It comes and goes. It's kind of like one of the wisps, you know. But joy is joy that Jesus speaks about to his men, his disciples, and a joy he says that nobody, in fact no circumstances, can take away from you. It's a joy that's lasting, it's eternal, it's like God's love, it's like God's salvation, it's eternal. Eternal life, eternal love, eternal joy. It comes, you see, through in the way of repentance, coming from your sin and seeking your happiness in eternal, in transient things, the things of the world, sexual pleasures, sinful pleasures. It's repenting. It's turning from looking for happiness in such things as these. And of course, turning to Jesus, the one who can give you eternal joy, eternal happiness. And this joy, of course, well, it comes at Jesus on one occasion, connecting his disciples. You know, they've been out doing the business, healing the sick and, giving eyesight to the blind, doing all kinds of miraculous and wonderful things that his followers are able to do. Because Jesus says, you know, that those who believe in him, they'll do greater works than more than he ever did. And his disciples were out doing this one day, and they came back rejoicing because they were able to do these things. And Jesus said to them, he rebuked them, he says, don't rejoice in that you're able to do these things. Rejoice in this, he says, that your names are written in heaven. You see, people, the only ones who ever get to heaven, into God's heaven, are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's Jesus' book, you know. Because when a person's saved, when they repent of their sin and believe, trust in Jesus, you know, for joy, for happiness, for forgiveness, for all the blessings of God's kingdom, when a man or woman, you see, when they believe, trust in Jesus, and get this eternal, overflowing, abundant life and joy. Well, their names are written, you see, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those for whom he died, you see, that's what he means. Rejoicing not because you're able to do wonderful things, but in that, you know, that you've been forgiven. You know, that God's got your name written in his book. Because you see, the day is coming when you're going to stand before God, all of us. You know, God, well, Jesus, he judges the thoughts of men's hearts. He says, you know, in that day when you stand before God, you give account for every careless word you've spoken. You know, it's a reality, people. There's a day of comeuppance. There's a day of accountability. I know you live in a generation that doesn't believe in accountability for anything, you know. Think that you can do as you please with impunity. Well, people, there is a day of accountability. It's called the day of the Lord. It's a fearful, horrible, horrible day for those who have not believed, have not repented of their sin and believed in Jesus. It's an awesome day, people. The day of the Lord. Day when you stand before God and give account for all the things that you've done in your body. And in that day, you see, if your name's not written in God's book, God's finger's going to go down through the pages, down through the list of the names, and if your name's not written there in the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, well, you're out of it. You're gone. Lost eternity forever. Eternal misery instead of eternal happiness. Eternal pain and suffering instead of eternal love, comfort and joy. So you see, you need this joy that Jesus speaks about, this joy that nobody been taken away from you. It's not based upon your circumstances. It's not based upon whether you got a holiday coming up in the summer. It's not based upon, you know, that you've got money to spend, a plastic card to use. It's not based upon, you know, your good feelings. It's not based upon everybody smiling and happy with you. It's not based upon because there's no crises in your life, no pain, no ill health. It's not based on these things. It's a joy, people, that just does not fluctuate. A joy that nobody can take away from you, and that circumstances will not change. Jesus promises this joy to those who believe in his name, who trust in him, who follow after him. It's given to his disciples. You believe, madam? You believe in Jesus? You need the Bible, madam? Would you like one of these to have a read? Of course you can. Sorry, I can't hear you. Yes. Okay, good. There's a lot of unbelief in the world, I know, yeah. It's terrible, but you keep trusting, my dear. Keep trusting. He's the only way. He's the only way, madam. Yeah. Have a good day, yeah. And you, my dear. So you see, people, it's a lot of bad things, you know, come to people in this world, and it comes to the bad and good, it comes to everybody, you know. I remember talking to a young girl, and one day I offered her a gospel tract, a leaflet, and she said, no, she said, I'm just so happy, in her mid-teens, you know. She says, I'm very happy with my life, I don't need that, you know. And well, I didn't say it to her, but I thought to myself, yeah, dear, that's good. That's good today, but it won't last. It won't last, you see. Human, ordinary, natural happiness doesn't last. You know, you're young and you're free, you think, you know, and you're good to go. You're going to swing the world by the tail. You ain't got a care in the world, you know, but it won't last. It won't last because trouble will come. Why? Because you're a sinner like I'm a sinner. And sin brings misery, sin brings pain, destroys the body, it destroys the health, you know. And some of you believe this nonsense about evolution. Well, tell me, why are your bodies degenerating? Why are your bodies not evolving into something better? Why is there sickness and pain and death? Why is the world running down? If evolution's true, why is it not evolving? Why is it not evolving further? Why is it not getting better? You know, why are men and women, why are they still murdering and killing and slaughtering one another? Why do men and women behave like animals? You see, you used to be animals and now you're human beings. You've evolved. That's what you say. Well, tell me, why do you behave like animals? Why don't you behave like human beings? Truth of the matter is, you're not evolving at all.
You're telling that as God's word.
Thank you. You're not evolving at all. It's absolute rubbish and nonsense. You know what atheism is? It's a Zimmer frame. It's a Zimmer frame for you wicked sinners to help you cope with the reality of God. That's what it is. It's not a crutch, it's a Zimmer frame. It's a wheelchair, you know? It's one of them electric wheelchairs, you know? Because you just can't cope with life and the reality of God. You live in self-deception. Kidding yourselves on that there's no God, you know? And you think it leaves you free, you know, to live your life in sin and wickedness. With impunity, you know? But you're deceiving yourselves. No, you're not evolving at all. Tell me, when's all this misery I see on your faces? When's all this unhappiness I see in your world today? If you're evolving, why aren't you evolving into, you know, and away from all the misery and pain and the killing and slaughtering? Why aren't you getting better? Why aren't you evolving into something better? It's the very opposite of the truth. You're going, if you came from monkeys and apes, you're going back to something worse. Looking at your behaviour at least anyway. Now you see, the truth of the matter is, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we're all sinners. Because God says so, not because I say so. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, God says, all sin, all miserable sinners. You know that saying you've got amongst you? What is it you say? She's as miserable as sin. Huh? He's as miserable as sin. Because there's nothing like sin to make people miserable, and that's the cause of your misery. That's the cause of all your misery in the world. Sin. Sin, people. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes, walking, talking, breathing sin, that's all that you are. That's all that you are, people. Just a lump of sin. And it's the sin that causes the misery, that causes the unhappiness. And as long as you remain in your unbelief, you remain in your sin, and you remain in your misery, your unhappiness. And no matter what the circumstances are today, you know, you're happy today, things are good today, we're feeling good today, but it won't last, you know it won't last. Because you're degenerating, your body's degenerating, along with the world, along with the rest of humanity, your body decays, it starts to fall apart, you know, maybe because of your sinful lifestyle. You know, because you're up to your neck in the sexual business, the immorality, you know, and it's eaten away at the fabric of your body. Or maybe it's the drunkenness, you know. Or maybe just in the fagash that you can't leave alone, you know. It's rotting your lungs, and you're destroying your body with your sin. And it brings misery upon misery upon misery upon you. Because you look for happiness in these things. You look for happiness in what can't give you happiness. You look for joy. You look for happiness in the wrong places. Jesus, He gave you a joy nobody and nothing can take away from you. An everlasting joy. An eternal joy. Because your sins are forgiven, because your name's written in heaven, and because you're bound for glory, whatever comes your way, oh, you don't escape the, you know, the common problems of humanity. You don't escape the ill health, you don't escape the pain, you don't escape the afflictions of life just because you're a disciple of Jesus. But you got to hope beyond that, you see. You got to hope for heaven. You got to hope for perfection one day. You got to hope for glory. But of course, if you haven't got that, if you haven't got Jesus, don't matter what you got. Don't matter what you got. You're bound for a lost eternity. You're bound for eternal misery instead of eternal joy. So you see, people, it's Jesus that you need. You can have all the money in the world. Think of that guy, Steve Jobs, you know, that used to do the Apple thing. I can't remember the figure, the billions and billions of dollars that he had. Eh? He left it all behind, don't you know? He died. Cancer took him. Cancer took him. Took Steve Jobs out of this world, and he left all these billions and billions and billions of dollars. He left them all behind for his wife to enjoy. And he's rotten. He's rotten in eternal misery today because he didn't believe in Jesus. I know that from his own testimony. So you see, you can have all the money in the world. It won't take away the misery. There's a guy in the Bible Jesus talks about, you know. And he got lots of stuff just like Steve Jobs. And he thought, you know, what am I going to do with it all? I got no room for it all. And he says, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my warehouses. I'll build bigger warehouses. Christ, I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, eat, drink, and be merry, because you've got stacks of stuff stashed up for many years. And Jesus said to him that night, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. So you see, people, it comes and it goes, you know, the human joy, the natural joy, and all the things, all the stuff, you know, that God gives you. Here's another thing, you see, you live off the back of the stuff God gives you. God gave you a brain, you know. Brains don't come from, you don't get brains out of evolution. You don't get brains out of a material universe. Lighten up, people. Get your brains into gear. Forget the stuff you were taught in school and university. You don't get brains out of a material universe. You know, out of matter. You know, you don't get science out of matter. You don't get ethics out of matter. You don't get philosophy out of matter. You don't get one single intelligent thought out of matter. You don't get anything out of matter. You know? You live off the back of what God's revealed to you. The fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge. How can you do science? Because God has revealed certain things to you about the universe in which you live, the world, and your own beings. He's given you knowledge. That's why you can do science. You can't do it without God. Philosophy, thinking, you can't do that. God made you a rational creature. He says in His Word, come now and let us reason together. Because He made you a rational creature, you know, with the ability to think, with the ability to philosophize. Dogs don't do that. Your budgie doesn't do that. Lions and tigers don't do that. They're just stupid creatures. You see that? See those stupid people in America yesterday pinning a medal on a dog because it got its leg blown off in Afghanistan? What's wrong with you people? You gone mad altogether? You gone start raving bonkers? Pinning a medal on a dog? And the only reason dogs do what you tell them to do is because you're going to fill their bellies afterwards. It's the only thing that motivates a dog. But you're not a dog, you're not a cat, you're not a budgie. You are a man, a woman, made in the image of God, a rational creature with the ability to rationalize. Because God gave you that faculty. It's a God-given reason. Your very conscience testifies on behalf of what I'm saying to you today. Your conscience, you can't escape from it unless you've seared it, unless you've hardened yourself to the point where you're beyond redemption. But you got a conscience that tells you when you're wrong. Your conscience that tells you when you're right, when you're doing good. Can't escape it, people. But you see, it's because of your unbelief. It's because of your unbelief. It's because of your self-deception. It's because you live in this wishful thinking. Oh, I wish there were no God, you see. That's what the atheist meditates upon day after day. You know, he sits in his corner, you know, mumbling to himself, I wish there were no God, I wish there were no God, I wish there were no God. That won't make God go away. That won't make your misery go away. That won't make your unhappiness go away. That won't make your sin go away. You can live with this Zimmer frame, atheism. Atheism's a Zimmer frame to help you cope with the reality of God, you know. You don't want there to be a God for the same reason a thief doesn't want there to be a policeman. But I've got bad news for you if you're a thief. There are policemen. And I've got good news for you if you're a professing atheist. There is a God, and He's a God of love and grace, and He gives happiness, eternal joy to those who believe in His Son, Jesus. It's good news, people, the gospel. It saves from the misery of sin. professing atheist, eh? Two things that professing atheists are absolutely sure about. One, they're absolutely sure there is no God. And two, they are absolutely sure that they hate Him. How logical is that? How scientific is that? Eh? Fools and blind. Talk about futile thinking, moronic thinking. That's atheism. There is nothing so inconsistent, I tell you, than professing atheism. Nothing so inconsistent. You say you believe in evolution, yeah? Okay? Well, why do you complain about people murdering one another? Isn't that just survival of the fittest? Isn't that what you say you believe? But you don't really believe it. You don't really believe it. You say you do. You try to convince yourself that you do, but you know better. You know better. You come and tell me you're an atheist, I'll tell you you're not. I'll tell you you don't. You're not an atheist at all. There's no such thing as an atheist. They don't exist, people. You know that God is. You believe in God. You believe in God just the same as I do, but you're under His wrath, you're under His divine anger because of your unbelief, because you refuse, because you suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in your unrighteousness, in your wickedness. You know that God is, because He's made it plain to you, because He's shown it to you. He says you even understand it, that God is. But you suppress, you hold down that truth in wickedness and unrighteousness. And so you live in misery. You live in unhappiness. You live in godless misery all your days, and then for all eternity, it's more of the same. Well, not more of the same, worse. Worse than ever, your worst nightmare. Worse than you ever believed. More miserable than you ever believed you could be. That's hell, people. That's hell. That's the final outworking. That's the final consequence of unbelief, of sin. You're born in sin, you live in sin, you die in sin, and you spend eternity in sin, in the misery of sin. Unless that is, there is a mega change. Unless there's a supernatural change. Unless that is, there's a miraculous change. Because that's what it takes to make a sinner happy. That's what it takes to bring eternal joy to a man's soul. That's what it takes to save somebody. That's what it takes to make a person a Christian. You don't become a Christian of your own volition. You don't become a Christian by your own doing. God's volition, God's will. Not of Him who wills, not of Him who runs, but God who shows mercy. Unless God shows mercy upon you, you'll remain as you were born, as you're living, and as majority of you will probably die in your sin and in its misery. But you see, we got the gospel. We got the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Makes the miracle a possibility, you see, His coming into the world for this reason, this purpose, to save miserable sinners, to save them out of their misery, to save them out of their unhappiness that they have, that they are by choice.
And we won't.
You see, you're a sinner by choice and by practice. But you see, there's another way. There's another way. There's the Jesus way. Son of God, He died for miserable sinners, wretched sinners, blind and naked. He came to open the eyes of the blind. You can't see God. Why? Because of your impurity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If your heart was pure, you would see God. But your heart's not pure. It's impure, it's defiled, it's unclean, it's unbelieving, it's hardened against God, suppressing the truth and wickedness. How could you possibly behold God? You go about all your days asking the stupid questions, you know, where is God? He's everywhere, all around you. You can't breathe without Him. Your very next breath He holds in the palm of His hand. His to give and His to take away at will, any time that He wants. So joy, happiness, Jesus says, a fullness of joy that nobody can take away from you. Jesus can give you that. But here's the thing, can you believe? If you can, He says, everything is possible to the one who can believe. That's the question. Not a question, can Jesus make you happy? Not a question, can Jesus give you the joy? He can. Question is, can you believe? Can you believe? And if you believe, you'll repent. And if you repent, because you believe. Believing, you see, people, that's what's required of you. Go through the gospel yourself, if you will. Look and see. Check it out. You know? Everybody who comes to Jesus with their misery and their pain, with their sickness and death, they come to Jesus, and the answer, same answer is given in different words every time. Only believe. Trust in God. If you can, everything is possible to the one who can believe. Can you believe? Will you believe? Will you turn from your sin with all its attendant misery? Will you turn from it? Will you forsake it? Will you renounce it? Godless living and sinful pleasures for eternal joy. Just a moment's pleasure. That's all sin gives you. A moment's pleasure in an adulterous affair, and then all eternity in the misery of hell as a result of it. Is it worth it, really? Godless living and sinful pleasures, when it could be eternal joy. Joy in this life, in this world, walking with God through Jesus, and eternal joy in the glory of heaven one day. Because it's not going to get better. See, that's the thing, people. That's what you got to remember. You know, just like everybody else, you know, you're gonna grow old. No, maybe. Some of you won't. Some of you won't get that far. But you know, you grow old, your bones grow old with you, your body decays, and the misery increases. And then you die. And then you stand before God because, well, you can't overcome death. They never will do. Not all the cleverness of medical science will overcome the fact of death. Because it's God's punishment. It's God's punishment on a wicked human race and sin. And people, there's only one antidote to death, and that's life. That's eternal life. That's the only escape route. That's the only alternative. And only one person can give you eternal life, and that's Jesus. Muhammad can't do that for you. Buddha, Confucius can't do that for you. Only Jesus can. He gives eternal life to those who believe in His name. Can't get it from nobody else. You see, you go into the world, you see, I just want to be happy, I want to enjoy my life, you know. And off you go into the world, you know. You think you're going to swing it by the tail, but it ends up the other way around, it swings you by the tail. You look to the world for life, you go to the, I don't know where you go these days, you know, to do your drugs and things, your uncleanness, all the parties and the boozers. You know, I'm going to live, you see. I want to live. The world can't give you life, people. Look at your newspapers, any bulletin you like, any single one, and you've got death on every single one of them. Nothing but death. Every newspaper you pick up and every television bulletin you look at nothing but death, people. Because the world can only produce death, it cannot produce life. Only one person can do that. That's Jesus. I am. No, it's not, sir. That might be you. You see, only Jesus can give life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Only Jesus can give you life. So you want to live? You want to live? You want to live forever? It's Jesus that you need. It's the Son of God you need, not religion, people. This isn't about religion. It's about a person. It's about a man, the man Christ Jesus. Only mediator between God and man. The only one who can put you right with God. Cause and effect, you see. Sin's the cause of the misery. The misery is the effect, you see. You try to get rid of the effect without dealing with the cause. It doesn't work. You got to go to the roots. You got to deal with the cause. If you want to get rid of the effects. So you deal with the sin and you get rid of the effect of misery. It's the only way, people. Sin lies at the door. When you climb over it, when you repent of it, turn from it, forsake it, renounce your godless living and your simple pleasures, and turn to Jesus. Forgiver of sins, the only one who can forgive your sin. Pope can't do that for you. Priest can't do that for you. Muhammad can't do that for you. No forgiveness there. No forgiveness there. Jesus says, he alone, the Son of Man, has the authority, the power to say to anyone that their sins are forgiven. So lest you heard those words of absolution from the lips of Jesus, you're still in your sin. You're still in your sin, you're still unforgiven. And that's what makes death so scary. The Bible calls death the king of terrors. You know why? Because you come to death unforgiven. That's what makes it a terror. That's what makes it the king of terrors. Because it's come for you and it's going to drag your soul out of this world unforgiven. You don't want to go there, people. You really do not want to go there. Believe me. Or rather, believe God's word. Eternal torment. Eternal misery. When you could have eternal joy. When you could face the king of terrors and smile in his face. Death, I mean. Jesus able to do that for you. But he alone, he has the ability to save to the uttermost. The uttermost of your sin and its guilt and shame and disgrace. Able to save you, to deliver you from the wrath to come, the divine anger of God in all its fullness and fury and finality on that day when you stand before him in your sin, able to deliver you from that. If you will but repent and believe the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. For this is the gospel. Christ died for sinners and rose again after the third day for sinners to deliver men and women such as you and I from sin and from its consequent misery. You know, the Bible describes the human race. You know, some of you say, you know, you impudently and ridiculously tell me, you say, when I speak about the Bible, you say, it was written by men. It was written by men, right? If the Bible was written by men, do you think that men would describe their fellow men like this? This is how the Bible describes the human race. No one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Do you honestly think that if men wrote the Bible, that they would describe themselves in that way? I don't think so. But you see the description? They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. Misery dogs you. It follows you hard on your heels all your days. And then for all eternity, if you do not repent and believe the gospel. Let me give you God's advice as to what you should do about this misery of yours. You find it in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah. This is God's advice for you this afternoon. Seek the Lord while you can find Him, because you won't always be able to find Him. Call on Him now while He is near. He comes very near to you in the preaching of the gospel. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for He will forgive generously, abundantly. Forgiveness. You see, your name written in God's book, in the book of life. And eternal happiness and joy will follow your heels all your days and then for all eternity. Only the gospel, only the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Only the gospel, my gospel, the word of God, the revealed righteousness of God, revealed in His word, in the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only place you'll find this joy, this eternal joy, eternal happiness that God offers to sinners here in Nottingham this afternoon. Will you receive? Will you believe? That's the question. Everything is possible to the one who can believe. Can you believe? Will you repent? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Salvation, eternal salvation, and eternal joy shall be yours. You would like to have a cup?